The scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons." Say it. "Sons, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of the time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, that in Your kindness You raised up a man, a rebel. You saved him and You inspired him and empowered him to write and record the very words of God. We thank You that this morning we aren't just approaching contemporary wisdom and knowledge or ancient wisdom and knowledge. We are approaching infinite wisdom and knowledge. We listen because we have been given by Your Spirit ears to hear. God, would You enable us to hear, not just with our ears, but deep within our hearts. And that we would leave obeying, joyfully obeying Your Word. Help us in this time that we have, God, to investigate and to study and to dive into the depths of Your grace and love. Help us to capture a glimpse of who You are and what You've done. And enable us, God, to take with this knowledge and be driven to worship and honor You. We thank You for all that You've done and that You're doing even in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 1, verse 3. If you look on the back of your bulletin, there's an outline there for you provided. Maybe help you to take some notes that you can carry with you, because part of what we've been talking about is discipleship. You can take these notes down, and you know what you can do? You can teach somebody else what you have learned. That's what a disciple does. So try to take this in, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of others, blessing others. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every or all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Blessed, to bless, the blessed. First point. You got that? Blessed, to bless, the blessed. I wrestle with the grammar of verse 3, especially the first part of this, trying to understand and trying to grasp, reading up what is a linking verb again, and what is a to be verb, what is all this, and how does this unpack, what is Paul saying? And what I believe is going on here is two senses that Paul is wanting to communicate. Some would argue it's either or, but I think it's both and. Blessed, it could be translated, is God. So God is blessed. Saying God is praiseworthy is how you could say it. God is worthy of praise. Romans 1:25, speaking about those who went away from God, he says, "They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And then Paul says, who is blessed forever, who is praiseworthy forever. And he says, amen. And so he's looking at God and saying, He is praiseworthy. The God that we serve, our God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Spirit, He is blessed. He is praiseworthy because of who He is. And the other sense of this is, God is to be blessed. Paul, writing to the faithful saints, the church of Ephesus and maybe other churches as well, he's saying, in a sense, blessed be God. As you go through verses 3 through 14, I really believe what Paul is trying to do is, I want you to plunge into the depths of what God has done for you. And as a response, as a natural response to who God is and what God has done, blessing will flow naturally from you. And so if you look at 3 through 14, it starts in verse 3, blessed. So bless God. You skip down to verse 6, to the praise of His glorious grace. Jump down to verse 12. So that we who are the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. And at the end of verse 14, he wraps up this one sentence. That we acquire possession of this inheritance to the praise of His glory. This whole sentence is bookend, if you will, by blessing to God. He's done this that we might praise Him. To praise the glory of His grace. To praise His glory. To praise Him. To bless Him. To give honor and respect and power and glory to Him who alone is worthy. And so when we look at verse 3 and the blessings that do flow in verses 4 through 14, Paul is wanting for the church to be moved deep within our soul to praise God, to worship Him. What God has done and who He is provokes us to praise Him. His people should be provoked as we read about God, as we study about God, as we learn what He has done, His mighty acts throughout the history. We should be stirred within our being to praise Him. Discovery of who God is and what He has done leads us on a path, on a journey to greater delight in Him. What it does is, God has done all this for me. Me, a lowly sinner who rejected Him. God loved me this much to give His own Son to die for me. What does that elicit? It elicits love and delight in this God. So discovery of who God is and what He's done leads to greater delight. And I think what Paul is wanting us to do is unpack who God is for us so that we would delight in Him. And as that love for Him and that delight in Him grows, it would lead to doxology. So discovery leads to delight, leads to doxology or worship. Worship. This is the end for which God has done everything. That we would be to the praise of His glory. That we would be to the praise of His glorious grace. That we would be a people who would bless our God, who is the Blessed One. And so it renews us to want to go after God. It renews a passion and a fire within our souls to know God. Maybe you're thinking, as I did, of one of the popular songs that really comes out of Psalm 103. Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." And he just continues to account, here's what God has done for us. And he begins it, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless Him with all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Don't forget what He's done. And as you go to the end of Psalm 103, he says again, "Bless the Lord, O you His angels and His mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." That's what David is doing in Psalm 103. He's painting a picture of really at my heart, at my core, I want to be blessing the Lord deep within my soul because of what God has done. And not only me, but the angels and the ministers and all of His works, all of His creation. The heavens are to tell and to declare the glory of God. They're to bless His name. And so when we look at Ephesians 1 verse 3, as Paul's opening up this sentence for us and opening up this letter for us, he's saying, bless God. Bless God. Look to God. Think deeply about who God is. You could go down to Psalm 104. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering Yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent." Then he continues on. Psalm 103 talks a lot about what the Lord has done. And Psalm 104 continues, this is who God is. This is the beauty that is displayed in our Creator. And Paul wants us to get that. And so he starts this long sentence in Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have been blessed by God. We receive all spiritual blessings. Why? That we might bless the one who is worthy. That we might praise Him who is worthy of all praise. That we might worship with heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we might love Him. That we might delight and treasure Him with all that we are. And this is what Paul wants the church of Ephesus to get. And I find it fascinating, as you go to the book of Revelation, this is the very thing they missed. You've lost your first love. Don't lose sight of that love for God. Don't let discovery and truth shadow who God really is. Let that discovery drive you deeper and deeper into light. Don't just fill your minds with more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. Let it in so that it might transform your heart to a heart that beats for God. May you tell your very own soul. Maybe you got to do that. Maybe you got to command, soul, bless God. This is what you were made to do. Stop being caught up in the world. Bless God. Praise God. Praise His holy name. So bless the blessed. Number two, blessed by God the Father. Blessed by God the Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who has blessed us? God our Father. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us. The Father is the source of all blessings. And when I say all, I think it's spiritual and material blessings all come from our Father. Here Paul is warning us to focus on spiritual blessings. And all of these come from God our Father. He, the Father, has called us His very own children. And as a Father, He delights in giving good gifts to His very own. It makes Him happy to bless His children, to see them filled with joy and excitement, to see them recognizing that He is their Father and that they care for Him. The Father has blessed us, it says. Us. Who is the us? The saints, as He began the letter, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So the spiritual blessings come from the Father. We're blessed by the Father with every spiritual blessing. We who are His bride, the church. He lavishes us with His love. He lavishes us with His grace. And He lavishes us with untold blessings. You think of this Father not holding anything back from us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. There's nothing God is saying, well, I got more back here that I'm holding back from you until you clean up a little bit more. No. He says everything is poured out on you in abundance. He doesn't hold anything back from His children. He lavishes us with all spiritual blessing. Us, His children. He wants us to have it all. All of His benefits. And so He lavishes it on us. God is Father, Son, and Spirit. We see this clearly in these passages 3 through 14. We even see, I think, clearly in verse 3. And that's why you see points 2, 3, and 4 are really Father, Son, and Spirit. Because this is how God is blessing us. The spiritual blessings are flowing from the fountainhead who is our Father. And so when we think about blessing God, praising God, we're not just thinking Father, we're thinking about this triune God who is providing salvation and all spiritual blessing and has provided it for us. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Son has a Father who is God. Here's where it gets tricky. This Trinity language. How in the world can you fathom the depths and the riches of who God is? I think in terms most often as a triangle. You have the Father. And you have the Son, the Spirit. So the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, His Father, has guided Him to accomplish salvation for us. And so the Father is the Father of Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Father was well pleased with the Son, Jesus. Jesus was in constant communion with His Father. Jesus did the will of the Father. He spoke the words of His Father. He bore the wrath of the Father and accomplished redemption as the Father had planned and purposed from all eternity. He is our Father and the Son's Father. We are now brothers in a sense with Christ Jesus. We're blessed in Christ. We are friends with God. And these blessings that have been poured out in Christ have been poured out to us. And as you think about the Father who has loved His Son, was well pleased in His Son, gave the Son a mission, empowered the Son to accomplish this mission of reconciling, redeeming us buying us back to Himself. So we think about Him, our hearts should well up in worship. We should be thinking in terms of what a loving Father who loved us so much that He would give His own Son, His one and only Son, to die for you and I, that we might have life and that we might have communion with Him. What a loving Father. What a compassionate Father. What a compassionate Father who would look out on a world of rebels and would look out on them and says, I know they're in rebellion. I know they're in sin. I know they don't love me and they're going their own way. But I still love them. And I still want them to have all spiritual blessing. What a Father who would, just like the prodigal son, run out to His children and meet them, even though they have wasted their inheritance, even though they had ran and went their own way. What a Father, a compassionate Father, who would embrace us in Christ, even though we had run away from Him. What a loving and a compassionate Father. What a patient Father. You know, even in your walk with Jesus, God has had to exercise a lot of patience with you. I know He has with me. I've learned lessons years ago, but I still struggle in obedience. I know intellectually, I know within my heart, but there's this war that Paul talks about between the flesh and the spirit. I know the right thing to do. I understand what I'm supposed to do, but I find myself not doing it. And what does God do? He's patient. He doesn't give up easily on us. He doesn't write us off. He's patient, enduring us, in a sense, breaking His own heart, grieving the Holy Spirit. He's patient with us. He looks at the big picture, recognizing that I will carry them to the finish line. They will be holy and blameless as I've declared them to be. One day they will understand. One day they will continue to grow into maturity. One day I will make them anew and afresh and complete and perfect, lacking in nothing. What a patient Father. What a generous Father. He's given us the ability to make wealth, He says. To make money. He's a generous God and Father who provides us with homes, with family, with clothing, with vehicles, with so much physical blessings as well. On top of all the spiritual blessings, He is generous. And He gives to His own. And what a forgiving Father. How many times have you done the same sin over and over again? How many times have you gone to the Father and say, Father, please forgive me, for I have sinned. And He pours out forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And we continue. What a forgiving Father who would take our sins and cast them away, forgiving them as far as the east is from the west. So has our Father forgiven us of all of our debts and sins and trespasses. So blessed by God the Father to bless Him. To bless Him, to worship Him. So as we think about God, let us be motivated to worship Him. Number three, blessed in Christ Jesus. Blessed in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Or if your translation puts the in Christ at the end, it's in Christ that these blessings flow. Last week we began to talk about and to look into our union with Christ. Union with Christ is one of the most important phrases in all of Paul's epistles. Hendrickson said it is the most important phrase. This understanding that we are united in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. No spiritual blessings are given that are not given in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings come in Christ. It is in Jesus that these blessings flow out to those image bearers that God has made. The world longs for limitless blessing. They long for the blessings of God. But they will never, ever, ever find spiritual blessings apart from Christ. Apart from our Lord. Apart from Jesus Himself. Jesus, we could see throughout the Scriptures, He's done many things, but among a few is that He came to reveal the Father. He is the image of the invisible Father, invisible God, the exact representation of His nature. So He came to display who His Father is to a world. He would even say to His disciples, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." He came to reveal His majesty and beauty and glory and splendor to the world. You want to know what God looks like? Look to Jesus. I actually saw on Twitter this week that it's kind of hilarious and strange at the same time. Somebody said that Jesus is the Father's selfie. In a sense, taking a picture of yourself, you see the image of Christ. He is the imprint of who God the Father is. Jesus came to preach the good news of the kingdom. It's good news. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom has come. And He came to preach that, to tell the good news that the King is here and His kingdom is here. Come and join the kingdom by believing in the King Himself. He came to testify to the truth. He came to testify to the truth. His words were the Father's words. He would even talk to Pilate at the end, right before He was crucified, in this dialogue of what is truth. We see in John 14, He says, "I am the way, and I am the truth. I am the truth. I am the life." He is truth. He came to testify to it. He came to die as a substitute for sinners. Or He came to die and ransom to buy back sinners. He came to die in our place for our sins, for our transgressions, which we committed against God. He came to die and pay the penalty that was due us. And He came to give us His righteousness so that we can be known as the very children of God. Saints who are faithful. He came to defeat sin, death, and the devil. And He accomplished it. Even on that cross, as He is breathing His last breath, He declares, "Tetelestai, it is finished." There was nothing lacking in His work. He accomplished what the Father sent Him to do. And these blessings, these spiritual blessings, come to us, the church, the saints in Christ. We think about Jesus, who is the Son. Again, our hearts should do something. Our hearts should be stirred. They should well up to give praise, to give thanks, to worship our God. What a Savior. Jesus is His name. God saves. God is mighty to save. What a Savior who's done nothing wrong, who's done everything right, who would do nothing but love and pour out His love to all humanity, that He would heal sicknesses and disease, and He would be hated and despised, and He would give Himself. What a Savior who would say, I would take my life and I will lay it down for you sinners, for you rebels, those who hate me. God, Father, would you forgive them? For they don't know what they're doing. What a Savior we have. What a friend of sinners. One who wasn't too good to stoop down and to get dirty. One who would minister to the lowly of His day, to the rejected prostitute, He would minister. To the leper, who was vile and contagious, He would reach out and touch. What a friend of sinners. Whatever sin you have committed in your life, Jesus is one who comes to the sick. He didn't come for the healthy, for the well off. He came for those who are sick and in need. And He came to offer help. He came to be a friend to people like you and I. What a sacrifice. Here, John declares, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's pure and spotless, without blame, without blemish. He is the perfect Lamb. He is the Holy One of God. He is the perfect and pure sacrifice that the Father's justice requires. What a sacrifice. What a holy God we serve. What a high priest. What a high priest who ministers in the very presence of God, reconciling us. What a mediator He is. The one who reached down between God and man, who was both God and man. What a mediator. What a Savior. What a sacrifice. What a friend. What a priest. This is our Jesus. Let us bless His name. Let us worship Him for who He is and what He has done for us. Number four. Blessed with Spirit blessings. Blessed with Spirit blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Blessed with spiritual blessings, or Spirit blessings. And as I was reading and I was studying this, I was trying to wrestle with what is a spiritual blessing. And as I was digging, I really just saw this Trinitarian formula in verse 3. It was unavoidable. Father and Son and this spiritual blessings. And this spiritual, you could say, means pertaining to, This is one commentary's definition. Pertaining to or belonging to the Spirit. That's why I said blessed with Spirit blessings. Because these blessings pertain to the Spirit and His work. These are the blessings that the Spirit pours out. So we're blessed with the Spirit in Christ Jesus by the Father. By the Father in Christ with these blessings. It's kind of fascinating as you go down through here. You'll see that the Holy Spirit Himself is one of these blessings. That we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, marking forth this inheritance which is ours until we acquire it, until our faith becomes sight. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The Greek word there is pos, which means all. Everything. All spiritual blessings come through the Spirit Himself. The Holy Spirit is instrumental in every blessing we receive. And here's how I've taken verses 4 through 14 and broken them out. I think there's 6 blessings. And these are going to be my next 6 sermons. So one, blessing number one, we've been chosen in Christ to be holy. Number two, predestined in love for adoption. Number three, redemption and forgiveness in Christ through His blood. Number four, revelation of universal union in Christ. Number five, inheritance in Christ to hope and praise. And number six, sealing of the Spirit in Christ to praise. So those are the 6 blessings that flow from the Father in Christ through the application of the Spirit. To whom? The saints. To the church. To the bride. To us. God is pouring out these blessings by the power of the Spirit. And it's no surprise, as you read through those 6 spiritual blessings, as you read 4 through 14, you know what we're going to be doing? We're getting in some real deep waters. Real deep waters. These are things that churches divide over and split over. These doctrines, these truths. These blessings. It's fascinating, isn't it? God's pouring out a blessing on His church and we fight about the blessing. Let as we dwell on these blessings, let us not be so concerned with who's right and who's wrong, but rather with who God is. What kind of God would bless us this way? That's how we should be motivated as we read these things. I think we approach it way too often with the wrong approach. I want to be right. Therefore, this is truth and what you believe is a lie. Rather than, God, You are truth. And I want more of You. I want to understand what You've done. I want to wrestle with Your purposes and Your plans that You carried out and applying them with this Holy Spirit. I want to read this and study this and know this that I might be better informed to know You and worship You. Paul's going to later say and pray for the church, you would know more. That you would know the depths of His love, the breadth, width, height, that you would know it all to the fullness that is in Christ. He wants us to be complete in our love and our delight and our treasuring and our valuing who He is. And it is the Spirit of God who's going to do this in our hearts. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. He wants to produce in us, as we try to discover more, He wants to produce a deeper delight in who God is. He wants us to delight in God so much that we just can't help but to worship. To be filled with doxology, singing and praising God. This is what Paul's writing for in verses 3 through 14. Bless God your soul. Oh my soul, bless Him, praise Him, praise the glory of His grace, praise His glory. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Church, we have been blessed. Richly blessed. We have been blessed with everything that God has. All these spiritual blessings. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to walk around in the world with your nose up in the air saying, "Ha, I'm blessed and you're not. I have favor and you do not." How are you going to respond to these overwhelming blessings? I think where we should get our clue and our response is how Jesus responded to the many blessings of His Father. We should show compassion. We should extend forgiveness. We should be filled with grace. We should be filled with joy. We should be filled with all the fruit of the Spirit. As He's stirring in our hearts, let us be driven to bless Him. To worship Him. To make much of Him. We'd all agree, I hope, that this life is not about us. It's about Him. To make much of Him in this brief moment in time that we have. To declare with the heavens the glory of our God. And so God, we come to You and we recognize, even as we are trying to unpack Your Word, God, we've got a lot to be grateful for. We've got a lot to be thankful for, God. And God, we have to come and confess. God, we haven't been as grateful as we should. We've taken advantage too often of these many blessings that are in Christ. Too often, even I, God, want to make much of myself, when in reality, God, it should be us making much of God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We thank You, O Lord, that You have blessed us and You are blessing us. And that one day we will understand the fullness of these blessings. God, even now, day by day, as we are walking with Jesus and running with our eyes fixed on Him, would You enable us to understand the depths of Your love? How beautiful Your blessings are in Christ. And may You cause us to love You more. That we would love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we would love our neighbors as ourselves. That we as a church, as the saints, the holy ones, the ones that You have set apart unto Yourself, God, may we enjoy, be filled with joy as we wrestle with who You are. And as we discover throughout history what You've done, may we do it not just for the building up of knowledge, because we know we'll be puffed up. We'll be filled with pride and we will fall. God, let us be filled with wonder and awe. Let us be filled with reverence and awe of who You are. And may our deeper understanding of who You are and what You've done give us a greater praise and thanksgiving, more honor given to You, more glory, more faithfulness, more truth being spread. May Your will be done here among us as it is in heaven. May we be reflections of who You are. We bear Your image to a dark and dying world. May we invite them in through Christ by the power of the Spirit to receive such blessings. Oh God, do it. For the glory of Your name, we pray. Amen.